Knife work is close and dirty, but my katana kept him just out of reach. The wall coming up fast, and I was losing ground, giving way under the slashes. Parried a strike, hurt like hell, and would have broken a human's arm. My sword followed the path laid out in front of it, blurred up in a solid arc. I had made contact. A thin line of black blood kissed his cheek before it sank in, sealing away the wound, golden skin closing over itself. Perfect, flawless. I had rarely been able to touch him before.
His anger giving me speed to match his? If that's it isn't gonna last.
I backed up at an angle to give myself more room. My sword tip moved in precise little circles.
You see?
Jaffer Mill had both knives laid along his forearms, left arm in guard position, right hand held oddly, low and to the side.
I even let you wound me.
I'm overmatched. He has too much damn speed. I'm harder to kill now that I'm Hedera, but I'm still no match for a greater flight demon. Not even one that's being kind about it.
I licked my dry lips.
Fuck that. I killed Santino.
Don't do me any favors.
Speed. Pure speed. Sword flashing, sliding off knife blades. Body alive. Adrenaline singing. His eyes narrowed and glowed behind the silver gleams of knife blades streaking the air. One slash after another, each one just barely batted aside, giving ground but making him work for it. Every single inch he gained paid for with effort. The idea came, laid inside my brain like a gift. I didn't hesitate. I blurred forward. The Kia rose from the very depths of me, rage and despair lifting from a smoking, destroyed part of me. My blade tore through the air and kissed his throat, just as his knife blade blurred in and touched my own pulse, beating high and wild and frantic in my neck. I stared at him, his eyes glowing green. A single trickle of black blood eased down from the corner of his mouth. He'd bitten his bottom lip, sharp teeth sinking in. Oddly enough, that made me feel like I'd won. His aura wrapped around mine, enclosing me. The mark on my shoulder flared to life, burning through layers of shielding, my body tensing.
Ready to push the blade home.
The bright length of my katana rose over his shoulder, the razor edge about 5 inches from the hilt against his tough golden skin.
I can fall backward away from his knife and slash, twisting my wrist through the suction of muscle. I can.
Give. I had no hope that he would.
Of course.
His eyes locked with mine.
Anything you want, Dara.
I felt a second prickle. His right-hand knife was against my floating rib.
He can open my belly with a flick of his wrist. He's won. Then why has he conceded?
The knives vanished. He clasped his hands behind his back and looked down at me, my blade still tucked under his chin. My hand shook slightly. I could push the steel in, step forward and twist, all momentum boiling down to one simple, undeniable movement.
I'm no longer bloodthirsty enough to do it.
I took a step back.
Why do you make this so hard?
I will do what I must to protect you.
Even if it means losing me?
Like there's any way in hell I'm gonna walk away from him. I'm in too deep.
He smiled. An amused, tender expression.
We have nothing but time, my curious one.
It didn't satisfy me. My sword lowered, rose into second guard. I examined him. He tilted his chin up slightly, a subtle movement, offering his throat. The air was hot and still. I barely noticed the other scions against the walls. Shields gone crystalline. The perfume of human awe and fear staining the air. Even other scions were afraid of me. Or afraid of Jaffer Mel first, and me only by association. The blade blurred as I reversed the katana, dropping the tip and ending the movement with the blade tucked behind my arm, blunt edge against my shirt and the hilt clasped in my hand. I wasn't sweating. Demons don't sweat, and neither do Hedera without a lot of effort. But my entire body hummed like a reactive mill. I felt oddly cleansed.
I got what I wanted, after all.
We have demons to hunt.
4 demons. Then what?
Then we see what pleasures the world holds for us. 7 years is not so long.
Not for you, maybe.
Is there anything else you want to tell me?
I wasn't holding out any particular hope. He shrugged, a fluid movement.
I hate demon shrugging.
We'd better get back.
He nodded. I cast a glance around the spar hall. The light had changed slightly. I met the human eyes locked on us. Bright eyes, accreditation tats shifting on human cheeks of every shade. Then I saw the other necromance. He leaned against the wall, his dark hair slicked back with sweat, unshaven cheeks hollow. Dark eyes over high-balanced cheekbones. His tat was circular, thorns twisting in a yin-yang symbol. His emeralds sparked a greeting and my cheek burned, answering it. He nodded, lifted his left hand. He carried a katana too. He wore a trade bargains shirt over the tank top he'd been working the heavy bag in, and his boots were scarred from long use. He looked faintly familiar, but I'd never worked with him. I couldn't quite place the face, which was a first for my magi-trained memory. Everything about him shouted bounty hunter. The nod was an invitation to spar. I felt my eyebrows rise. Looked at Jaframel, who had gone utterly still.
I think somebody else wants a match with me.
Be careful.
Does he look angry? Why?
The mark on my shoulder flared suddenly, heat rising to my cheeks.
I think I'm done.
I lifted my sword in my right fist, bowed correctly to the necromance, honoring him and respectfully refusing his offer.
We've got work to do anyway.
Then I turned on my heel and stalked away from all of them. Sparring was supposed to make me feel better, and I did. Clearer, cleaner, with the fidgets worked out. But most of what I felt was something hot and deep and squirming behind my breastbone. It was shame. For a moment, I'd thought of hurting him, and he'd offered his throat to the blade, made himself vulnerable to me.
How could I have doubted him?
Sunlight still fell down, but darker clouds were rolling and massing. I smelled wet heaviness riding the air. I walked with my head down and my left hand holding my sword, my eyes fixed on the pavement and only occasionally lifting to check the crowd in the sky above.
Why am I so uneasy? Because this is too goddamn easy. If there's a demon in New Prague who knows I'm here, why hasn't he thrown everything but the kitchen sink at me? Just a lone imp and one attack in a ruined building doesn't qualify as a real battle. Either he's more frightened of me than is possible, or he's laying plans.
Another, more interesting thought occurred to me.
Why did Lucifer bargain to have me as his official right hand and not Jaframel? What purpose does that serve?
I saw a noodle shop, its door half open. I slid in. The smell of cooking meat and hot broth rose around me. I had made it almost to the counter when Jaframel's hand closed around my upper arm.
This is unwise.
I'm hungry and I need to think.
Something about this smells.
Amazingly, he smiled.
Now this is revealed to you?
I swear he can sound caustic as carbolic when he wants to.
I scanned the interior of the noodle shop. Plast-covered booths. The counter with three Asian-O normals behind it. Two staring at me and another one chopping little bits of something that smelled like imitation crab meat. Hollow stills of Asian-O holovid stars hung on the walls. The ubiquitous altar to ancestors sat near the front door.
You're getting testy.
I tried not to smile. The jitter of adrenaline bloodlust was gone. I felt like a new woman.
I will not deny a certain frustration.
I indicated a booth with a flick of my sword hilt.
Fine. Sit, eat, talk, relax. Just like old times, right?
We should go back to the hotel.
Not only do I hate the goddamn elevator, but all someone has to do is drive a hover through the windows and there goes our entire team. We should go to ground. Somewhere safer, and somewhere without a goddamn elevator.
Where?
I slid into the booth.
The red light district. Enough static and interference to hide most of our team, except for you and me. And that's where a demon's going to do his recruiting if he's fresh out of hell and needs human hands. Ergo, it's where we're gonna hear the most whispers and gossip.
Jaframel slid into the seat across from me. His back was to the door, mine to the back of the restaurant, as usual. We had fallen into that habit during the hunt for Santino, him courteously allowing me to put my back to the wall. My eyes flicked over his shoulder and checked the front window. People passing by, a crowd of normals.
Anyway, Lucas is one of our biggest assets, and he's best on the shadow side. Has a lot of connections. I've also got a nasty thought, Jaff. Why isn't this demon throwing everything but the kitchen sink at me? And why did Lucifer ask for me to be his right hand instead of you? You're the one he can count on here.
One of the Asianos came to the table. She bobbed her dark head, smiling at Jaffermel and casting a little sidelong glance at me. She put two teacups and a small pot on the table. We ordered. She bowed slightly and hurried away.
The prince can trust you, Dante. You are honorable. I, however, have bargained with him in the past. I'm known to be somewhat unruly.
Lucifer can trust me?
I thought my eyebrows couldn't get any higher.
I won my freedom, did I not? And I am fallen. That means I am dangerous.
Why are you suddenly so dangerous to Lucifer?
Why do you think he destroyed the original fallen? They were a direct threat to his supremacy on Earth. It was only a matter of time before a fallen and his Hedera conceived an androgyne. Then, who knows?
I swallowed dryly. Lucifer controlled reproduction in Hell, and the androgynes were the only demons capable of reproducing. Santino's creation of Eve had been a blow to Lucifer's power, one he couldn't cover up or simply ignore. Hence, Lucifer's throwing me into the snake pit the first time.
Why didn't Lucifer kill us both when you fell?
I suspect he thought he might have further use for us. In any case, I know better than to try to breed.
Jaffermel's eyes dropped to the tabletop. There had only been one time in my life that I'd even contemplated having children. And that time was long past. Still,
what if I wanted to breed?
Silence stretched between us.
Never mind. Look, let's just focus on one problem at a time. We should get everyone out of that damn hotel and into a safer place. Then we can start figuring out which demon's here in New Prague and what he's likely to be planning.
Do you want children, Dante?
I willed the lump in my throat to go away. No. I have enough trouble trying to deal with you. His laugh chattered the teacups against the table. I stole a quick glance at him, looked back down at the table. I knew every line and curve of his face, almost every inch of his skin. It wasn't enough. I wanted to know what was going on behind those glowing green eyes, under that perfect, poreless golden skin, behind that face that wasn't as gorgeous as Lucifer's, but somehow enough for me. Beautiful the way a katana's deadly curve was beautiful. I wanted inside. I wanted to crawl inside his head and know for sure that he wouldn't abandon me.
Jaffermel, what gave you the brilliant idea to bargain for a demon's power again?
I wanted it for one simple reason. To protect you, Dante. A Hedera is only as safe as her Anankimel can make her.
Way to seize the moment, Jaff.
I thought you said there weren't many demons who could threaten you. Even fallen.
After we are done killing for the prince, he may find us expendable. If that happens, I want every iota of power I can possibly gather. I will not give you up. Not to Lucifer, not to your own folly, and not to your precious death either. Therefore, I saw a chance and took it. It was not premeditated.
His right hand, resting on the table, had curled into a fist.
Well, that was a good idea then, I guess.
The woman arrived with the food. Beef and noodles for me. A plate of something that looked like egg rolls for Jaffermel.
Thank you.
I scooped up a pair of Placilica chopsticks and set to with a will. He didn't touch his food. I looked over his shoulder, through the windows at the street. Marked traffic. Uneasiness returned like a precognition, swirling around me.
So what do you think is going on? You have any ideas about these demons? Anything that might be useful?
Enough to begin hunting, and enough to understand there's another game being played here.
It was a relief to be able to eat with my right hand again.
What kind of game? Lucifer seemed to blame me for not knowing he was asking for me too. What was that all about?
You were vulnerable. He could have broken you, Dante. He still might.
It was time for a subject change. I lifted up my left hand, the wrist cuff glittering in a stray reflection of light from the street outside.
Mind telling me what this is?
I didn't think he was going to eat any of the egg rolls. After all, he didn't need human food. But I was wrong. He picked one up, bit into it, chewed it up thoughtfully.
A demon artifact.
Meaning what? What does it do?
I don't know what it will do for you.
Or to me.
The unspoken codicil hung in the air. I looked down at my soup.
Damnedest thing. I could have sworn I was hungry. Ravenous. All of a sudden, I've lost my appetite.
Do you have a DAT pilot code for any of the others?
You wish to contact them?
I want to tell them to get out of there now. I don't like this. My neck's prickling.
Jaframel reached under the table, for all the world as if digging in a pocket. If I didn't know what his coat was made of, I would have believed the pretense. He extracted a sleek black DAT phone from under the table, pressed a button, and lifted it to his ear. I looked back over his shoulder. The unease crystallized.
Parte matno.
A true linguistic wonder, my fallen.
I slid out of the booth, gaining my feet in one smooth movement. My thumb clicked the sword free of the sheath's embrace. A normal behind the counter reacted. I ignored it.
Are they getting out?
Of course. I respect your instincts. I suppose this means we won't finish lunch?
Damn him, he's back to sounding amused.
I'll pay.
But he rose from the booth like a dark wave, tossing a few new credit notes down. Of course, money means less than nothing to a demon. He never seemed to need it, but it appeared whenever there was any question.
My pleasure. What do you sense?
I'm not sure. Not yet.
But I will be soon.
The precognition rose through dark water, aiming for me, and passed by, circling.
If I just relax, the vision will come to me.
Precog isn't my strongest talent. It's only spotty at best. But when it comes, it's something to be reckoned with, for all that it usually comes too late. The first dark, rain-heavy cloud slid over the sun. Shadow crawled over the street, the vision of something about to happen jittering under my skin. I didn't need to look down at the wrist cuff to know it was glowing green. My skin crawled at the thought that Lucifer had given this to me, and I had blindly put it on.
Out on the street, Jeff. Move low and silent.
I thought about it for a second.
And kill anyone who moves on us.
Of course.
The mark on my shoulder flared again. Velvet smoothing down my skin as another wave of demon-fed power pulsed through the air between us.
I really wish I could decide if I like that.
A few desultory spatters of rain pawed at the crowd as we made our way slowly down the sidewalk, heading on a winding course back to the hotel through the Starumesta's narrow, ancient streets. I wanted to give the others plenty of time to get the hell out of there. I didn't want any of them catching blowback from a strike aimed at me. That was mostly why I work alone. I don't want anyone else paying for my fuck-ups.
Hell, I don't even want to pay for my fuck-ups.
We were halfway back to the hotel when I stopped in the middle of the sidewalk, the hair raising on the back of my naked neck. Something wrong I couldn't quite figure out until I glanced up instinctively, checking the hover traffic, and the big silver hover bearing down on us.
Well, isn't that creative? Smash us with a hover.
Then I thought of something else. The imp, screaming as it turned into a bubbling streak on the greasy slide of reactive paint.
What would that thick glowing layer of reactive on the bottom of a hover do to Jaff?
I gathered myself and leapt, my boots connecting solidly to kick him back, sending him flying as a plascannon bolt smashed into the hover, and the white flare of reaction fire exploded against my eyelids. The burning tore through my entire body. I hoped I'd thrown Jaframel clear enough that the reactive wouldn't affect him. Gray. Everything gray. Shot through with veins of white flame. The burning. Everywhere burning. Creeping fire. Every inch of skin. Inside my eyelids. The sensitive canals of my ears. Burning. Burning. My mouth burning. Teeth.
turned to molten chips, burning.
Screaming? Whose scream is that? My own. Cheek on fire. Emerald. My emerald. No blue fire, no hovering of death. Aren't I dead, at last?
Hold that. God damn it, hold it. She's not dead. I don't know where she is, but she isn't dead yet. Seta ukfet sateva ura.
Power flaring out of my control.
No blue glow.
Only the ragged chant nailing me in my body. Every other time I'd been this hurt, I'd gone into death and begged the god to take me. How hurt was I?
It hurts. It hurts.
It tore along every nerve, worked inward, creeping up my arms and legs like the slow, icy crawl of death. But something fought it. My left arm, braceleted and shoulder torn in agony, sending out waves of fiery cold, fighting with the other pain for control of me, back and forth. Caught, held, my arms and legs stretched.
Stop. Give me another unit.
A splash against my skin.
More! As your gods love you, if you do not wish my wrath, more!
I wasn't dead. The agony tore at my skin, working inward, collecting in every joint and rending tender tissues. Motion, spiked air dragging against my nerves. I was being taken somewhere. Flesh moving on my bones, literally crawling. Crawling as the chant melded with power to knit together shattered and burned skin and muscle. Warmth forced down my throat. Someone massaging my neck, making me swallow. It burned all the way down. Fire exploding out from the inside now, as well as burrowing into my skin from the outside.
More.
Jeff, calm down. That's good. I'm not able to move for some reason. I can't talk to him to calm him down.
Zeta ukfet satevapu kuraf. She'll live.
Help him, Tianz. McKinley?
Here.
Question the humans. Get even the smallest piece of information. Do not fail me.
Of course not.
The Magi, what does he have?
He says it's close. That's all.
That's Bella. She sounds so young. Did I ever sound that young? What's she doing involved with this?
Not enough. Go back to work.
He needs sleep. He's exhausted. The countermeasures are...
Take what you need, but beware. Time is of the essence. Go.
Gods. My voice sounds like it belongs to someone else.
Gods. What happened?
First time I've ever seen a woman take on a hover. It was loaded with reactive. Lovely. We're going to have the Freetowners calling up our ass.
The damage was contained. What more do they want?
Lucas was silent. Probably wise of him.
More blood.
Light pierced my eyes. It hurt.
Easy, Hidera.
Something stroking my burning forehead. Ice-cold fingers. Painful, but also strangely comforting.
Thank the gods he sounds like himself again.
Let me work. You will not be scarred.
Hover. Reactive. Jeffermil.
Just because it affects an imp does not mean it will affect me. Now lie still.
Jeff.
The reactive. The vision of the imp bubbling and screaming into a grease stain on the reactive rose again.
Jeffermil.
I am well enough. Ease yourself.
I'm not hurt.
I said this despite the awful burning sensation. It was no longer blind white agony, only a hard, sharp weight against my nerves, like the touch of sun on already burned skin, or the awful creeping rash of slag fever.
The others?
Safe. They left the hotel in time.
I must admit your instincts are finer than mine.
I felt something gelid and spicy, like demon blood.
You're hurt, Dante, but not badly. Lie still.
Is it night now? The Nicht runs up and about.
The human's locked in a room.
Feed him, keep him close. He is not a prisoner.
Why haven't I ever heard this tone from him before?
Tell him he has my thanks.
Is she...
She will live, Chance. Do as I say.
Of course, monsieur. More blood?
No, I have enough. Get out.
Blood? Jeffermel's feeding?
He had never wanted to feed on blood in front of me. He preferred to visit slaughterhouses or feed on sex.
I don't think I'll be up for any bed games for a little while.
Jeffermel?
Be still now. Let me work.
Power pulsed along my abused nerves, coating them with honey. Something peeled away from my flesh, air hitting damp skin. Cold and full of knives, but still somehow better than the burning. Peeling away. Fingers in my hair, stroking gently, spinning out the silky strands. A low humming sound of power sinking into my skin, swirling and dyeing the air green. Diamond black flames twisted over me, working down toward my bones. Shadows began to form, coalescing against the bright white light. Am I blind?
No. Let me work.
Now that the furious pain was gone, I could think again.
My emerald.
Still there. Still alive with your god's presence. Be quiet now.
The strength ran out of my arms and legs. I felt something hard under me. Jaffermel's arms around me. A tickling touch over my face, down my throat, over my breasts, flowering down my body. A different type of tension stirred in me. My hips jerked forward. I heard a low moan.
My own? What, I'm a sex witch now? Power has never evoked a sexual response in me, never.
It ran out my toes, a tide of burning leaving me molten and shaken. I blinked several times, something fine and dusty falling from my eyelashes. I closed my eyes, still blind. Let my head tip back like a heavy fruit on my limp stem of a neck.
I still have eyelashes. Did someone say a hover laden with reactive? I've been too busy trying to get Jaffermel out of the way to think about anything else. Reaction fire. What is it with these people chasing me and the reaction fire?
Had a demon tried to smash me with a hover? It didn't seem like them.
Seems like demons like to do their work a little more up close. When you've got eternity to play in, Bloodsport needs to be personal. Anything else is just too boring. And something else is going on here. Lucifer winds me up and sets me in motion, but he also takes the chance and makes sure I'm separated from Jaffermel. Someone sends an imp after me, but any greater flight demon would guess I would be almost capable of taking care of an imp. It was just to keep me running. And a hoverload of reactive. If it won't kill Jaffermel, it might not kill me, but it will slow us both down. So someone needs time to do something.
But demons had all the time in the world. Lucifer only contracted me for 7 years. The smart thing to do was lie low and wait until I was no longer the right hand. 7 years was an eye blink for a demon. Someone was trying to throw me off the track. Someone wanted me to chase my own tail.
Or someone is using me for another purpose, bait or distraction. Lucifer? An escaped demon? Who? All of the above?
I opened my eyes, saw darkness, blinked, saw glowing green eyes, a familiar face.
Jaffermel.
His fingertips stroked my forehead.
Dante, did you think to protect me?
As a matter of fact, I did. Someone's trying to delay us. or use...
Now this is revealed unto you?
He kissed my forehead.
Think no more on it. Sleep and heal.
I fell into darkness, still trying to think through the soup my brain had become.
The next time I woke, it was to find myself in a small, cheap room in Freetown, New Prague. Thick curtains were pulled tightly over blind windows. Day or night, I didn't know. I rolled up, pushing aside the softness of Jaframel's wing, examined my hands. Thin tendrils of hair fell forward, brushed my cheeks. It was too long, past my shoulders, as if I'd chopped it months instead of a few days ago.
Hair? I've been in the middle of a reaction fire. I shouldn't have any hair left. I shouldn't have any skin left. Not to mention bones, muscles, or blood. My hands look like mine. My shoulder looks like mine. There's Jaframel's mark. Legs, feet, they're mine.
I made it up to stand, unsteady. Jaframel lay on his back, motionless, one arm flung over his eyes. A slice of light showed from a white-tiled bathroom. I bolted for it. I found the mirror. The same face. For the first time, I felt relieved to see the marks of what Jaframel had made me in the mirror. My accreditation tat showed sharp and strong against the golden skin of my left cheek. The emerald glittered. My hair wasn't as long as it had been, but it wasn't a chopped short mess either. It brushed my shoulders in silky disarray.
And so much simpler than going to a salon.
I closed my eyes, tried to concentrate. It didn't work, so I dropped down on my knees, rested my forehead against the porcelain. It finally came. Blue crystal walls rose up around me. The hall was immense, stretching up to dark, starry infinity, plunging down below into the abyss. I walked over the bridge. My feet were bare. I felt grit on the stone surface, the chill of wet rock. The emerald flamed, feeding a bright cocoon. Kept me from being knocked off the bridge and into the well of souls. The living did not come here, except for those like me, necromance. On the other side of the bridge, the sleek black dog sat back on his haunches, waiting. His high pointed ears focused forward. I touched my heart and my forehead with my right hand, a salute I would give to no other god, demon, or human. Only death ruled me, Anubis.
What would you have of me, my lord? I am your child.
He cocked his slim head, warmth flowing through the night air. A thin, vibrating elastic stretched between us, my emerald sparking as my rings did, a shower of sparks. Each spark a jewel, each jewel a tear on the cheek of infinity. The god spoke in a voice that was not a voice. The meanings of his word burned through me, each stripping away a layer. So many layers, so many different things to fight through, each opening like a flower to the god. The Gesh burned at me, the fire of his touch and some other fire that moved through him combining. I had something to do, something the god would not show me yet.
Will I do what he asks? When the time comes, will I submit to his will and do what he asks of me?
I bowed, my palms together, a deep obeisance reaching into the very heart of me. My long, stubborn life unreeled under his touch. How could I resist him?
I am your child.
The god's approval was like sunshine on my back. Then I had to go back. The god closed me away from death gently, allowing me to see the well of souls, the bridge, the blue crystal walls.
and the shape of death shifting like ink on wet paper as he raised one slim paw, a hand laden with dark jewels.
No, it's a woman's hand, with a wristlet of bright metal that runs with green fire. But wait.
The god of death had never changed for me. A psychopomp was coded into the deepest levels of a necromance and didn't change, ever. No necromancer's psychopomp had ever changed. At a necromancer's trial, she suffers the initiation of the mystery of death, and a psychopomp appears. Unlike other disciplines, necromancers have to be accredited, have to pass a trial and face the ultimate abandonment of control in the face of that most final of mysteries, the passage into the clear, rational light of what comes next. I could not even ask a question. My god's voice rang in the blue crystal hall as he spoke one more word. This one sadder than the last. So sad I found myself fleeing the terrible burning sorrow, blindly lunging back toward my body and the familiar pain of living. I surfaced, my forehead against chill, slick porcelain. Jaframel's hands circled my wrists. He pulled me into the shelter of his arms. I collapsed against him, gratefully. He pressed a kiss into my forehead. Warmth rushed back into my fingers and toes. Something's wrong. None of this makes any sense.
It rarely does in the beginning stages. This game is deeper than I thought.
Great. Why don't I find that at all comforting?
Am I forgiven yet?
I tipped my head back so I could see his expression.
We've got to work on our communication.
Is that a yes or a no?
How can a voice so flat sound so amused?
He watched my face as if the nine canons were written there, his eyes bright and depthless with their demon glow.
Why does he even ask me that? I'm still here, aren't I?
Forgiven for what? Yes, sure. Now can I get dressed, or did my clothes burn off me?
Your clothes are beyond repair, but I managed to save your sword and your bag.
I eased away from him.
Guns? I need firepower. The more the better.
Of course.
Thin, tall demon. Green eyes glowing in the face I knew. I reached up, traced his cheekbone with one fingertip, my black lacquered nail brushing his skin. Winged eyebrows, a straight mouth, his jaw set but not clenched.
You do not have to protect me.
I thought you were dead once. Once was enough. Now, can I get dressed? We've got a demon to hunt, and I think I'm beginning to have an idea.
May all the hosts of hell protect me from your ideas, Hedera.
I levered myself to my feet, glanced down as he rose.
Clothes, Jaframel, and get the others together. You can give me my sword, too.
He dropped his chin in a nod that managed to convey the impression of a respectful bow. He not only brought me clothes, a new trade bargains microfiber shirt, and jeans, socks, underwear, and my sword. He also had a new rig for me. Supple, oiled leather that might have been custom-made. New projectile guns, 9mm. Anything less is useless when you're facing a determined foe. And a new plas gun. A reliable SW Remington in the 40-watt range. Some bounty hunters use 60-watt, but the chance of blowing up your own hand if a core overheats is exponentially higher with a 60. Give me a good 40 any day. What you lose in power, you more than make up for in reliability. Along with the guns were a new set of knives. Even a thin, fine, polyphase alumina ceramic stiletto to slip into my boot. The mangushes were beautiful blue steel, sharpened to a razor edge and with a strange dappling in the metal. I tested the action of each knife and was impressed, despite myself. It was nice that Jaframel understood good gear.
Of course. One shouldn't expect any less from the devil's assassin.
The curtains rustled slightly. I glanced nervously at them and shrugged myself into the rig. I wanted to find something to tie my hair back, too. As soon as I had a look at my slightly charred but still whole messenger bag, I started to feel much better. Then Jaframel flicked his wrist, and Jace's necklace dangled from his hand.
This I saved also. I have repaired some small damage to it. but it seems largely unharmed. It is fine work, really.
Oh, I dropped down on the bed, all the strength running out of my legs. Looked up at him, Jeff Rimmel. He carefully bent over, his fingers gentle and delicate, slid his hands under my hair to fix the clasp and settle the necklace in its familiar arc below my collarbones. He even frowned slightly while he did so, a look of utter concentration that sent an oblique pang through me. His hair fell in his eyes, and his expression reminded me of a boy at his first academy dance, pinning a corsage on his date.
I do not think that I understand you well enough. My apologies.
My heart hurt. It was an actual, physical, piercing pain.
Jeff, it's okay. Really it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you? That's the best you can come up with? Two silly, stupid little words? God damn it, Danny. Why can't you ever say what you mean?
I caught his hands, held on as he looked down at me.
I'm sorry I can't be nicer.
Nicer? How about, I'm sorry I seem to be utterly incapable of anything but raving bitchiness. You're better than I deserve. I love you.
You are exactly as you should be, Hedera. I would not change you.
He squeezed my hands gently and let go, pacing across the room and picking up a familiar, slender shape. I wouldn't change you either. The moment of silent communication as his eyes met mine was worth anything I owned. He presented me with my sword as properly as Jado might have, the hilt toward my hand and a slight respectful bow tilting him toward me. I accepted the slender weight and immediately felt like myself again.
It is the strangest thing, but your sword seemed unaffected by the fire.
Jado gave it to me.
Did he give me a blade that can kill a demon? I certainly hope so. I might need one soon.
Jeff, the reaction fire, how did you—
My kind are creatures of fire. No flame can hurt me. Even a flame humans unlock from atoms. Steel, wood, lead, fire. None of these things will harm me in the slightest.
He clasped his hands behind his back.
Oh, fine time to tell me.
A sharp guilt I hadn't even been aware of eased. I finally felt like we understood each other. I didn't like fighting him. I wasn't any good at it.
I have told you I will not bother you with trifles. I considered that a trifle. I thought it would alarm you to speak of it. If it will ease your mind to know such a thing, I will tell you.
If he had jumped up on the dresser and announced his intention to become a half-credit unregistered sex witch trolling the sinks of Old Delhi, I would have been a little less surprised.
Good enough.
I popped my sword free, looked at 4 inches of bright metal. Jaframel was right. The sword was unaffected. I could see no weakening in its blue glow, no unsteadiness that would warn me the steel had become reaction brittle. I probed delicately at it with a finger of power, encountered exactly the right amount of resistance.
Are you ready?
To try and figure out who's been trying to hit me with a hover? More than ready.
Dante.
He let my name hang in the air. I waited, but nothing else came. Instead, he stood with his hands clasped behind his back, his eyes glowing and his hair softly mussed. I saw his face change, just a little.
What? I'm ready.
He shook his head, then turned to lead me from the room.
Hey, thank you, really, for saving the necklace and my sword.
Did his shoulders just stiffen like I hit him?
He nodded and continued out of the room. I didn't have time to wonder about that. I just followed him. The suite was on the 3rd floor of a cheap hotel in the middle of the worst sink in New Prague, and that was saying something. This section of New Prague's Staroměsto had been the Judic quarter, back in the mists of pre-American history. During the Awakening, it was here that the first Skinlan had been trained by Zoharic and Kabbalistikon scholars in their words of power and the secret of making Golem Eye.
After the 70 Days War and the absolute genealogical proof of the extinction of the line of David, the backlash of disbelief had risen against the Judics. Their pre-war alliance with the evangelicals of Gilead had only sealed their fate. There were plenty of genetic Judics all over the world, but the culture they had kept alive so successfully foundered under the double shock of the miscarrying of their prophecies and their alliance with the evangelicals, and, oddly enough, with the Catholica Church. War makes strange bedfellows, but even the most incisive of scholars could not explain why the Judics had allied with both factions of their old enemies. The Gilead records might have offered a clue, but they'd been destroyed in the war. The only theory was that Kachbabar Gilead had been persuasive, and quite a few, Scions and humans alike, had believed him to be a messiah, if not the messiah. Curiously enough, most Judic scions turned out to be ceremonials, gifted with using their voices to sing the nine canons and alter reality. The only remnant of Judic culture left was the Skinlands' pidgin mishmash of their language used to sonically alter plant DNA with power wedded to voice. That, and the Golem Eye. If I'd been a little less worried about a demon trying to kill me, I might have gone looking for some historical sites of interest. As it was, scholarship would have to take a back seat to figuring out who the hell was trying to kill me now. On the bright side, I could always come back.
If I survive.
It was obviously night, since the Nichtren leaned against the wall by the door, his arms folded. He wore the same dusty black sweater and workman's pants, but a new, shiny pair of boots.
There she is. You look better now, Bellamorte.
Rain stroked the windows behind his words. No thunder, though. The storm had passed.
I should.
I stripped my hair away from my face.
Last time you saw me, I'd just been hit by a hover. Where's Lucas?
I wanted a little tete-a-tete with him, to touch grav base and also, more importantly, to ask him what they'd talked about when I wasn't in the room.
Gathering information.
The Nichtren inclined his head, his gaze flowing slow and gelid over my body.
I would have loved to turn you, Sherry.
That was a high compliment from a Nichtren, but I never wanted to hear a blood-sucking master contemplate any of my vital fluids.
Thanks for the compliment.
My eyes flicked over the room, full of heavy pseudo-antique furniture. Drapes pulled tight over the windows, a Nivron fire in a grate. The room was done in red and brown. A graceless, slashed painting of a bowl of fruit hung over the fire. Two tables, a collection of heavy chairs. Bella crouched by the fire, her eyes closed. The Asian Omagi hunched over a table spread with papers, his sword close at hand. Today he wore a Chinese collared shirt and a long brown coat as if he was cold. He also looked extremely nervous. He was pale under the rich color of his skin, and his hair was sticking up like a crow's nest. Van peered out the window, tweezing an ancient curtain aside. He held a very respectable Glockstrike glaze rifle with an ease that told me he knew how to use it.
McKinley should be back by now.
I looked past him, a fire escape going down to a dark alley. A good escape route, or a good way for an enemy to sneak up on us. I shook my head, backing away from the window.
He can look after himself. Do not worry on his account.
The necromance I'd seen in the spar hall tipped me a lazy salute from a chair set in a dark corner, his long legs outstretched. His emerald spat a single spark. My cheek burned again in answer, the inked lines of my tat running under my skin. What the hell are you doing here?
Nice way to thank a man who saved your life. I was following you, saw you get hit with that hover. Your demon there, he shunted the reaction fire straight up and repaired the damage. Damnedest thing I ever saw.
He rose easily. He was tall when he wasn't hunching. Dark eyes, dark hair, unshaven cheeks blurring his tat a little. Nice mouth. Lines around the eyes. He wasn't young.
I'm Leander Beaudry.
The Leander? The Mayan reconstructionist?
I knew he looked familiar. What's he doing here? And why isn't he laser-shaved according to the codes?
He grinned,
the corners of his eyes crinkling. He'd made his professional name sorting out the skeletal remains of ancient Centro and Sudro-American sacrificial victims, in some cases raising their apparitions so linguists and anthropologists could question them. Then he'd moved to Egypt and worked on the tombs there. I hadn't heard any gossip about him for a while.
And you're Danny Valentine. I'm honored. I'm working Freetown's.
He indicated his fuzzy cheek.
Ah, no necromance codes out here. He was trained in Gemini, but he works bounties. Probably not very good at following orders and has been doing freelance for a while. Nice to know.
I read about Egypt. Raising Ramses for the Hegemony Historicals. Nice work. I saw the Holovid. He'd kept his apparition up for a good 45 minutes. He was also purported to be pretty good with an edged weapon. He specialized in cold case bounties.
Well, mummies are easier than cremains. You're the one who raised St. Crowley the Magi. And the Choyne Towers.
That managed to make me shudder. It was one of the jobs that had made my reputation as the best necromance in the world. One capable of raising apparitions from bits of bodies instead of whole corpses. The fresher the better, that other necromances needed. A Puchkin transport had failed and crashed into the three Choyne Towers, and I'd worked for weeks raising and identifying the dead, all but the last 10, who must have been vaporized. I looked down at his hands, scarred and bruised from sword fighting and working the heavy bag.
Why were you following me?
It's not every day I see a tat I recognize on the face of a Holovid angel. I was curious. I did a few stints with Jace Monroe in Nuevo Rio before he went solo. He always talked about you.
Did he? Well, you've fallen into bad company.
Looks like you've got a hunt going. I want in.
Ask Jeff Ramel. I tipped my head back. Jeff had gone still and silent behind me. The mark on my left shoulder turned molten hot. I paced over to the table the Magi was hunched over and pulled out a chair, dropping down and presenting the necromance with my profile.
I normally don't work in groups, but it seems I'm overruled.
I looked down at the papers, started shuffling through them. Maps of New Prague, mage scans, sheets covered with cramped, crabbed Magi code writing. I glanced at the Asiano, who said nothing. His eyes glittered at me, and I saw how tight his hand was on his sword hilt.
He's afraid of me. Why?
My left hand tightened on my scabbard as I stared back at him. The room had gone hot and tense.
What do we have?
The Asiano shifted in his seat, said nothing.
If you're hunting demons, you'll need every hand you can get. I'm trustworthy. I've got a reputation to protect just like you do.
The Asiano handed me a blue file folder. The mark on my shoulder crunched with heat, another flush of power tingling along my skin.
Fine.
I flipped the file open.
I told you to ask Jaff. I'm not the one in charge here.
Could have fooled me.
He turned on his heel, facing Jaff.
What do you say, then? I've done bounties in every Freetown on Earth, and I'm bored. A demon should be a nice change.
If you like. You're here on Dante's sufferance, then, Necromance, since you rendered her aid.
Amaric Velocal, I read. Then a twisted, fluid glyph, the demon's name in their harsh, unlovely language. The glyph had lines scratched out and redrawn. Obviously, the Magi was working on figuring out if there was more to it. A combination of divination and code-breaking, feeling around for a demon's name, sidestepping countermeasures and protections that the demon would use to keep his identity a secret. I felt the familiar thrill go through me. A new hunt. The feeling of pitting myself against an enemy both strong and fierce. Just like a sparring match and a battle chess game all rolled into one. I looked down at a drawing, finely shaded in charcoal. A face, round and heavy. Square teeth that still looked sharp. Cat-slit eyes that seemed light-colored. The face wasn't human. The eyes were too big, the teeth too square, and the expression was, well, inhuman. This was the first demon, then. Was it the one hiding out in New Prague? I spread my left hand over the picture, looking down at the wrist cuff. I glanced up. Ogami stared at the wrist cuff before his dark eyes flicked up to my face. He was pale under the even caramel of his skin, his thin mouth drawn tight in a grimace.
Bingo. We've hit a Magi that recognizes something about this. Maybe I can get him alone and ask a few questions.
I looked back down at the wrist cuff. It flared with green light, the lines twisting back on themselves.
Is this thing like a Magi tracker? It seems to react to demons. Is that why Lucifer gave it to me? But why doesn't it glow when Jaframel is around?
Does this cuff work like a tracker? Is this demon in New Prague? Because it seems like this thing lights up whenever a demon's prowling around looking to kill me. Long pause. I looked up. Van's eyes were fixed on me, his mouth slightly open. Ogami stared too. Bella, crouched by the fire, had craned to look back over her shoulder. The Nichtvren leaned back against the wall, his eyes half closed and his fangs dimpling his lower lip.
I hope he's visited some haunt and is well fed.
I had never really dealt with Nichtvren in my human life. They didn't like necromance as much. I suppose bloodsuckers who prize their near immortality, and all of them do, might not look too kindly on death's children. Jaframel approached me. Leander dropped back down into his chair, his katana placed at a precise angle across his knees. He was staring at me like I had grown another head. Jaframel's hand curled around my shoulder.
It is certainly possible. Given the reaction of the goblet, it's likely he's close.
Okay, finally. A useful piece of information.
So who is this guy? And what's the gauntlet? His hand tightened on my shoulder.
Velokel is of the Greater Flight. In an earlier age, he was called the Hunter. He hunted the fallen and their brides, and killed many.
Great. So what is the gauntlet?
The gauntlet is what you're wearing. It's a mark given by the prince. It means you're his champion. And any demon who doesn't bow to his authority is your enemy.
Oh, yeah. This just keeps getting better and better.
Jaframel? When were you going to tell me about this? He shrugged.
It provides you with some protection.
Okay. Back to the work at hand.
He hunted Hedera, this Velokel guy?
He did. Nor is he the only demon who did so.
Jaframel's hand slid up my shoulder, curved around and rested intimately against my nape. Heat rose up my neck, and I hoped I wasn't blushing.
But the Anankamel were only fallen, no more. They did not have the luxury of bargaining to regain their place, as I have.
I can't tell whether to feel comforted or doomed.
So what can you tell me about this guy, Jaframel?
Intelligent, resourceful, a good foe. He hates fallen almost as much as he hates Lucifer. But I would have thought him too wise to leave hell.
I looked down at the drawing, then met Ogami's eyes. You drew this? The Asian O nodded. Good. Give me a full body one. And write down in Merican what you know about this guy. I pored over the mage scans again as Ogami drew. Tian stirred against the wall.
The Deathless approaches. Rather quickly, too.
Get all this together. My neck prickled. Bella began shuffling the papers together. Hurry. If Lucas is running, it's bad news. Van, watch the alley. Anything out of the ordinary, yell. Nichtvren, slip down to the foyer, take a look. Make sure Lucas isn't being followed. Get those papers together now. Leander, I want you to hang out with Bella and Ogami. Your protection detail for our Magi.
Gotcha.
If this Velokel is half as canny as Jaframel says, he won't think twice about taking out the Magi. And there would go my best link to him. How well can a demon hide, though? They were huge magical smears on the landscape of power. Shouldn't Jav be able to track him better than a human Magi?
My eyes snagged on the mage scans again. Intuition clicked into place as the answer I'd been searching for burst out like colors under full-spectrum lighting, shapes falling and locking together to create a picture.
Oh, crap. Right in front of me.
Lucas opened the door and half fell inside. Tian's vanished. A slight shimmer leeching out of the air.
He must be old, and obviously a master. A Nichtvren performing that trick in front of humans is new to me. I wonder just how trustworthy a Nichtvren working for the Devil's Agency on Earth would be.
Lucas's hair was wildly disarranged. A splash of blood painted one yellow pale cheek. His left hand was buried in his stomach. Or what remained of his stomach, it was a mess. My entire body went cold.
I got heat. There's a net out there.
He glanced over at Leander.
What the hell is he still doing here?
You look like shit. I started forward. He needed a heal charm, something to stop the bleeding, and I wanted to take a look at the wound. He flung out his free hand, fingers splayed, and I stopped dead.
Keep the fuck away from me, girl. I got gunshot. I'll mend. Got a name around the Sinx. Kel, the hunter. He's looking for you just as actively as you are looking for him.
Tian's blurred into being right inside the door.
Time to leave this charming place, n'est ce pas?
I drew the pursuit, but the net was already here.
Lucas doubled over, shoving his hand even further inside the ragged mass of his belly. I started forward again. I wasn't a Setaim, but necromancers were the next best thing when it came to healing a serious combat wound.
Stay the fuck away! I ain't fucking safe right now, bitch. Stay off and get the rest of these fucking knocks out of here.
He doubled over again, going ashen, and my heart trip-hammered in my chest.
Out the window. Tianz, Jaff, you first. Clear the alley for the rest of us.
You should go with Van.
I half-turned, grabbed Jaff's shoulders, and shoved him toward the window.
I'm safer up here until you clear that goddamn alley. I'll be right behind you. Just go!
Van pulled the window up, helped the limping, bleeding Lucas out. Villalobos was moving much faster than I'd expect a gutshot man to move, and I filed this away for further thought. He said he wasn't safe, but Van...
Think about it later, Dante. Cover their retreat now. You'll have plenty of time to ask questions later.
I whirled back toward the door, shoving my sword into the loop on my belt, my hands curled around the projectile guns.
Tianz, how many?
Four that I saw, Belamonte.
He ducked out the window. Bella followed, and Ogami. Leander actually blew me a kiss before he ducked out, a knife glittering along his left forearm. His sword was thrust through his belt. Jaframel's eyes met mine, glowing green and suddenly much more frightening.
This is dangerous. Stay with me.
Why aren't you listening to me? I told you to clear the alley!
I ghosted across the room and put my back to the wall on the other side of the door, right where Tianz had been leaning.
A net, Lucas said, an encirclement. Expensive and meant for capture or elimination, most likely the latter. And they managed to hurt the deathless. Lovely.
Van and Tianz are more than capable of protecting the humans.
Jaff went utterly still, his eyes flaring. I listened. Demon acute senses are useful most of the time, since Jaframel had finally taught me how to control them. They had become even more so. I heard slight shuffling sounds. Human feet. Two sets of footsteps that weren't human. The back of my neck wasn't just prickling now. It was flat out crawling.
What the hell is that?